Smiley Winter. Is it Winters or Winter?
Winters.
With an S on it.
Yes.
Well, might as well start out. Where were you born?
Originally St. Louis, Missouri, 1924, the 11th of September. Mm-hmm. And I studied around St. Louis, and I was raised, and I went to vocational school and studied music. And that's where I picked up from. Then I played with a few artists that hit towns, like Bird and a few others. Member of the big J. McShann band. And all through that, and so I got enthused. But I always thought it was something further advanced, you know.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever make any records with them?
No, I didn't. I just sit in and made the sets with them and seen the music coming, seen the new music coming, I did, really. Mm-hmm. And that's before I went into service.
When did you go into service? What year?
42, July.
42. And who was sort of your inspiring musicians before then, you know, when you
were
starting up?
Well, those were Perez, Bird, Count Basie, all J. McShann, all of those, Moten.
Oh, is that what
you
did? Benny Moten?
Yeah, Benny Moten, and Zooty Singleton was one of my favorite drummers, Baby Dobbs.
Is that right?
Baby? All those cats.
Go way back
Kenny Clark. I mean, they come up through the line. Uh-huh. Sid Catley.
Did you ever hear Baby Dodds in person?
Yes, I used to hear him quite often.
Who did you play with him?
Like, he used to come through St. Louis there, and he used to, like, St. Louis was a breathing place for sessions mostly, see?
I see.
Cats used to come through and make it there. Hmm. He used to have a good time there, so I get a chance to sneak off and see all of them when I was very young.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You never heard Baby's brother, Johnny Dodds?
No, I just got a chance to, I was lucky to get a chance to hear him, man.
Uh-huh.
And then there was Prayers, And then Coleman Hawker, he come out of my home state there, St. Joseph. So mm-hmm. I used to make a lot of scenes down there.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when I got in the service, and I wanted to become a musician in the service, so I ran into Luther Innocent Jr. And I got a chance to study with those cats. So before I got out, I did 2 years there, and I came out, I was working out here in California.
Or did you have a chance to play,
to play
music in the service?
In the service, yeah. I played 2 years out here, see.
Was it on USO shows? Or?
Yeah, it was on USO shows, and it was a place called Port Chicago. I was in the band there, and I was on Mayor Allen's band for a while.
Mm-hmm. Was that a dance band kind
yes,
of
Yes, it was.
Purpose?
And then they sent us back to Chicago to mix with the band and have a big dance band, which was in 44.
Mm-hmm.
See, now I got out in 45, so I left New York and came out here in 45.
So you pretty much spent most of your time service playing music. That's great, huh?
See?
Did you run into any good musicians while you
Well, I ran into, like, Willie Smith at the time. He was in there. And we used to do a lot of playing with him. Most everybody that was in with him will remember, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to work around Chicago. We used to work in Chicago, Men of War program. I worked with the B band, but I was transferred to the A band, you know.
Mm-hmm. And when you got out of the service in 45, and did you come out?
I come out here to study in school. I studied out here at Candale's Music Conservatory for about 3 years.
Is that here in Berkeley?
It was. It's not anymore.
Oh.
It was in Oakland.
What was the name?
Candale's Music Conservatory.
Candale's Music Conservatory. Hi there. Did you do other kind of work on the side? Or
no, I just studied. For a while I did to advance my studies, but after a while I did nothing but to learn theory and everything. And then I got with a group of bebop group in 1948, and we made the Downbeat rap. Gleason wrote about us.
Is that right, huh?
That was the first.
Who was with you then at the time? Right?
Jesse Hawkins, Dickie Langford, Guy Guyton on bass, and Charlie Bing. He was there with us. He played the piano and tenor.
Hmm. And did you have a? Was it at a club here in town?
Or? Yeah, in San Francisco. I think we made it. Ralph Gleason had just made the staff on the.
Oh, I
Deep.
See.
Yeah, and he made a big splash there himself.
So I right see. You didn't record with any of those?
No, we didn't make any record. And the next big splash I got was in 59 with Judy Tristano, Lenny's wife.
Uh-huh.
I got a fellow from the Examiner wrote Garrison. J.C. Garrison, I think, made a big write-up.
Hmm.
Then I made records and...
Oh, did you make a record with her?
With Diana, yeah. I made a couple of tracks with Diana, and I don't know what album is it on. God Made Us Human, and Love Walked In, and I Concentrate on You. Those were the tracks. Now I don't know what's.
That was by Dinah Washington.
Yeah.
I see. Did Judith Tristano play piano too?
No, she played tenor.
Tenor, oh,
yeah,
is that right?
Yeah, she played tenor.
Is she still alive?
Yeah, she's in Knowles over there, Knowles, San Francisco, on the other side of San Francisco, Knowles County, right? Knowles something.
Huh. Does she play modern kind of music?
Yeah, she liked to Wayne Marsh, and she stayed in the Getz vein, something too. So.
Huh.
But she's a very talented chick, really.
Huh. When I had never heard of her as a
yeah,
I guess.
And at the time it's ironical, but Barbara Donaldson's first husband was working with us, Ole Kalamar.
Oh, is that right?
Tiana, yeah, he's a Swede. He's from Oslo.
Is that right?
Oslo, Norway. Yeah.
Oh, be darned. And they were living here in San Francisco.
Yeah, he went back. He went back to the old country,
uh-huh.
But she stayed in in Knowles Forest. I think that's what it is.
Uh-huh. And this was around in the late 50s?
It's 59.
59.
Yeah.
Huh.
I went with Diana in 60, see.
Oh, did you tour with her?
Yeah, I went with her about 4 months, see. We traveled all back east, Storyville, Brooklyn, 9 days.
Uh-huh.
And the Clarkses in L.A. for 3 weeks. And Chicago at the Regal for 3 weeks. 3 nights at the Cobo Club in, Newport, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. That's about it.
I see. But you pretty much had to play her kind of music, did you?
Accompany her, see.
Yeah.
Yeah, her arrangement.
Yeah.
And at the time, Joe's Avenue was a music director, see.
Mm-hmm.
And you had Jimmy Rouse on bass, and I was the first drummer that she picked up. She usually just go pick up a drum in town and use him there, and that'd be it, and then take a bass and piano with it.
But she kept you for...
Yeah, we were on a program over here together. I was with Virgil Gonzalez, big band over here, and they had a... Mm-hmm. Dave Brubeck and Diana Washington was on a program over Berkeley and at the Shriners, so she heard me both times. And then, so when she came back to town, she called me when we rehearsed, and I went to work over here 3 weeks. And then
it was in 1960, was it?
1960, yeah.
Uh-huh.
The first part of January.
I see. And, what have you done? What did you get into after that?
Well, I was a musical director for the Touche Record Company for 2 years.
Who was the owner of that?
Bronson Jr., James Bronson Jr.
Huh.
And he's a pretty good cat, and I still have an album pending, you know, I could, you know.
Oh, but he just released one, did he?
Yeah, he released one, but it wasn't my album, it was just Taking Care of Natural Business, and I was featured on it. It was an album which I was featured on, my name was featured on it and everything.
Yeah, let's see, who was the artist that was under the name?
Albert Tanner.
Albert Tanner?
Yeah, and he he's a wonderful musician, did all the compositions and everything.
Mm-hmm. Who were some of the other people on the record?
Roy Henderson. And Alexander on trumpet and flute,
mm-hmm.
which is, by the way, a very good school teacher here in Richmond. And that's the reason he won't leave home for one thing.
Uh-huh.
George Alexander, that's his name.
Yeah.
And Edgar Williams was on bass.
And then they also, you cut another session that was under your name, or what, that you mentioned something that they have another record?
Well, I was supposed to have another... The Moment of Truth, that was supposed to have been the album of mm-hmm. which I was supposed to cut into my name, which I haven't contacted them yet, you know, I can't.
Mm-hmm.
See, so.
Okay, and.
And I've sort of been a guru, and all the cats that came through that are cats, the most of the modern cats, from Handy, Farrell, even Coltrane, we have sat down and programmed and talked about the advancement of music.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of agreed with them on the advancement of music too, because I've never been stuck in one vein.
Yeah,
I've moved all the way, you know, as it progressed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I was able to play everything. I never shunned playing anything.
Yeah, I think that comes out in this record that you made. I think, like that one blues, you know, was almost old time swing. That
yeah,
you think so? That
yeah.
that one, the blues shoes.
Yeah.
What did he call it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
And yet some of it.
Yeah, because I play rock. This, like I say, I have another album in mind which I'd like to do from rock to Bach, which would do this from one on up to, which I would use, you know, timpanis at the end.
Mm-hmm.
It would go right into the classical bit.
Oh wow.
But if I have enough time, you know. I have a wide scope. I would rather have a warehouse of my own and turn out better musicians. I've always been a promoter.
I see, you mean like to train people?
Or? Yeah, you know, promote them and groom them for this coming thing, uh-huh. You know, because it's going to be hard, you know, really, for you to hold down a job and have all the necessary facilities that you need.
Mm-hmm.
See, and I'm going to try to put them on the track where they can get it, see. And I'd rather do that than to really, you know, play, but I enjoy playing, playing, writing,
mm-hmm.
etc. But that's what I like to do, program. That's my mostly, I'm, you know, turning out good cats, you know. Of course, mm-hmm. I have, you know, seen things change, and I have seen good people, and I've talked to them, and like Handy used to be real shy over here, man, right from here.
Mm-hmm.
I used to tell him, go on over there and get in the sessions, man. He was a long time getting over there, but he got, finally, when he got over there, he couldn't stop it.
I see.
And Farrah, I told him to go to New York. He said, I'm not ready. I said, well, get on out there, you know. So there he is.
Man. I see what you mean. So, yeah, you know, basically, a lot of guys you know, who are getting into this music are pretty shy people.
Yeah, you know, see, and I know that I can see the ones that are coming, man. I can see the ones that have got good potentials, and I've always picked a winner, man.
Yeah.
From Bird all up, I've seen, you know, when I heard his first note, man, I knew I said something else, you know.
Uh-huh.
So I've been proud of this, man, because I pick cats and they just turn out just like I said it would, you know.
Uh-huh. Who are some of the younger up and coming guys that you think now that are really interesting?
Well, Sonny Simmons, that's the latest creation, not of mine, but I had a party with him too because he's right here too, you know, and we were all together and I've watched him grow, and that's the coming. That's the latest music. That's the only thing I can predict, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, other than the other young cats that are coming up that I see, you know, that's in school. You have cats like Mike Breen, you know, thinks he's potential, you know, he's in another vein right now, but you can see it growing, you know, he's going to do something else. See, naturally, Birdie's got a thing of his own, and he's well set. All he needs is, just like I say, if we'd get a big place to teach, he'd be one of the main teachers, you know.
And can be heard, too.
Yeah, you know, you see what I mean? So.
Yeah, I was wondering what your thoughts are about, you know, I think we've all watched this, the fact that, you know, jazz in the 30s and even through the 40s was actually popular music amongst, you know, Negroes in general.
That's right.
While today it seems to be a very small audience for the
because
new
they
music.
Have, well, it, one reason they've kind of put more money in this other thing and pushed it out of focus. You see what I mean? They were leaning towards this, but all of a sudden here come $1 million and push rock right in front of their face all over the radio and everywhere, you know? And so now it's, you know, but the jazz is still going strong as ever, but it doesn't have the support that it, you know, that rock has. See, that's the reason they have, you know, lesser people. But you have people like, you say, the underground. You have a lot of people in the underground will support it, that, you know, mm-hmm. still appreciate it. And some of them still stuck in one area, bebop area, swing area, but they still appreciate some form of jazz, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not actually, you know, a way. You just don't see a lot of modern functions at these, you know, concerts and things, because the programming don't be up to par a lot of time. People be programmed like the festival down there. Look what they put on there for them people, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, so you don't see half the people that you should see on the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
You say, well, where are they? You know, this is the reason, the poor programming.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. Yeah, I think Ralph Gleason also commented on that.
Yeah,
you know, you had to suffer through a lot of
garbage
to hear
the good stuff, you know, really. And that's really bad when you've got good stuff just laying around.
That should be
you got even good local stuff laying around. Rather, if you don't want to buy the profession, they could have came up to San Francisco and say, well, groom four groups and bring them down for the festival, you know, and that would have been better than dragging them through all the rest of the trash. See? So that's we not to your. That's the answer to your question of it's not as many colors because you don't hardly see them now because on account of this, see, and all you see now is rock and this and the other because that money has pushed it out of proportion. Now put it like that.
Yeah, I guess.
See, if we had that much money behind it, you would see the difference. See, if we'd somebody just donate us like they do everything else, $1 billion from the White House or a grant, you'd see a lot different. See.
And I guess also in the '40s there was. Like today's soul music is so all-pervading, I guess there wasn't one kind of music. You had all
you had all the different kinds. You had from lead belly, and then you had everything. You participated, if you wanted to work, just like in now, you had to participate in everything.
Yeah,
and it was just as popular. One was just as popular as the other, only they just, one outgrew the other by creativity. Put it like this, that's what happens when you say pop or commercial. The only thing that made those famous was the money, but jazz, creativity made them famous, see, because we didn't have any money to push.
Mm-hmm.
Like Linda Feather was the only few cats that really dug and really put his money and effort behind it and a few others.
Mm-hmm.
See, so you had that. Everything was popular, but just things grew in different proportions, see?
Yeah.
And I watched it all, and it's a gas to watch it all. My intention now is to really go to Europe and study some more and make a lot of recordings, if I can, with a lot of different people and a lot of different places and promotion, see?
Mm-hmm.
I like this more than all. It's not so much of myself making a lot of albums, but promoting a lot of things, because I can show most people I can be of a good talent scout and worth to most any company, you know.
Mm-hmm.
See, because I know the musician, I know half of the musicians around the world now, from Spain, Norway, everywhere, North Africa. And if once I get over there, I'll know, see.
And with your versatility, you can play any kind of music.
And I want to learn even more. That's when I'm going over to study some more. I want to study with really the musicians over there. I think they got some qualified musicians, technicality, you know, and everything else in Europe.
That's true. They're technical, and, perhaps,
right? See, and you need technique. Don't let nobody fool you, man. Like a cat say, well, color cats are gifted. The color cat's got to develop your gift. If you don't develop it, doesn't mean a thing. You know, you got to develop it. And you really have to study harder than most people, because you really have to develop, because emotions hang up sometime with technique.
Of course, the emotions are probably the strongest among
both, but you need technique really bad, just like you need your left and right arm, you know.
Yeah.
You really need it, because to motivate you over your grounds.
Yeah.
See, if you don't do that, you can't move where you're going to, or show somebody the direction you're moving in.
Mm-hmm.
See, because you cannot execute, see, you can't understand. See, and a lot of times you can't explain, you got to execute. See? A lot of I can sit and talk forever here, but if I don't execute, you never know what I'm talking about.
That's true. That's
so it's really necessary to execution.
I think you're very right. Are there any plans underway or something to
form
a school here?
Yeah, well, that's what I want now. I'm trying to negotiate for a large warehouse if I can. That's for a large school. It'd be everybody's school, whoever participates, just for the benefit of creating better art, better sounds, you know. And, you know, just in all, better for everybody around, see. That's the whole idea, you know.
Because there seem to be many musicians very much devoted to
their lives,
music.
That's the first thing they have to be, dedicated and devoted, and then and the rest is there, see. Because every place else has a laboratory but music. You need that to create something, you know.
It seems to be true, and of course the universities and schools are very much hung up on the European classical thing.
You see.
Don't seem to get into
it. Well, see, that's the reason, like the albums and things that we made for Ola and a few others. It's the music, this haven't been but 6 months of study and concentration of playing together. Now, just imagine if it's been about a couple of years we've spent together doing this, it would have sounded much triple time better. You can just imagine what would have happened. We just had whole things mapped out.
Yeah,
this is about 7 months' work since August, really, you know?
Oh.
Excuse me. Because that's when I came back to town over here. I was working over San Francisco and got with Bert and Chris, and Chris came by every morning. We started working from there on up. And so, boom. Our first real professional thing was at television, the 22nd of October.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
KQED program.
And that went off like clockwork, too. But I know we can develop a lot of good things if we only had a place to present it. I mean, see, a warehouse is the right place to present this. See, we present our own programs and everything. It'll make money. It's no question about it, because the things that we put on there, everybody come to see it. And then we'd know enough people, like we know enough writers and everything for public advertisement. We know enough cats, you know, mouth to mouth and press. Then we had a phone in and people coming in and out of town. It wouldn't be no question of finance. It just would take a little time. Just
you think that if you give weekend concerts, you could finance the rent?
We give everyday things in weekend concert and clinics, and have a professional musician stand there so they can give a flow of knowledge. See what I mean? Well, I'm having an overflow going. See, like a musician come to town, he don't have to worry about a place where no stay. We have the top floor for a place to stay while he's working free, you know. So he give it. In return, he devote his knowledge to the warehouse, see, and hold clinics and classes, and et cetera. So it'll pay off. So we just charge. You can charge for rehearsals and every day, and people will come. See, so it'll pay off itself. See, and that's all.
Yeah, I think that would
It'll gel, see, because you got more musicians now than you ever had in history, young musicians. So you need these places not only here, all over the country. You need a warehouse in every city just for this purpose. And you see how much creation they would do and how much art would come out. Even to the painter, they could come there and get ideas and different things. You can have a lot of new things, a lot of new aspects come out of this that it's not even on board yet, not even on the drawing board, see.
Yeah.
Even we're going to have our own studio in there where we can have our own recording equipment and record every day.
Mm-hmm.
We have tapes and things every day, see, so you won't have to be waiting for no one specific time. You come in any time of day and listen to what you want to hear.
And then catch the good things.
There, everything, and bad as well as the good, so you know what to do.
Yeah.
And we have we got musicians that are engineers, that all we need is a place for them to develop, see.
Mm-hmm.
See, and that's what we need now, that's what's wrong now. Most of the engineers that's recording us are not musicians.
No, they don't really know anything.
See, so this is the hang up now. So I figure I can write this if I get this place.
Is Wes Rollinson part of the movement to get this place?
Well, he's so hung up now in what he's his thing, his, you know, his acting, et cetera. And he's a director, that's what it is. See, he's a one kind of director, and I'm a music director. See?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's the difference there, see. Mm-hmm. It would collide together once we'd get something started, but right now we have to work it separately. You have to work on one of the actors, and I got to work on the musicians, see. See, but I got another fellow with San Francisco State. He's another director too. He wants me to work with him, write scores for plays.
Mm-hmm.
See, all of this, I don't want to only cover one aspect too. I want to cover everything.
Mm-hmm.
From you know, choreography and everything else. See, music is wide scope. And when I get this place, this is what it's going to cover, television and everything else. If we're going to get our own television station in there, that would be beautiful.
Well, at least see,
you get to do everything.
You know, you could ask KQED to come in and do something, you know.
This one, once we get this big warehouse, see,
once you have a place, it's going to all be together.
And I figure the warehouse is the only place, because I've tried other places, and it doesn't work, houses and different things, but a warehouse would be it where you could do, remodel it over to fit just the purpose, a three-story warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
Downstairs studio, second floor office, and third floor living quarters. And this way, it'll pay for itself. We put a coffee shop, a health bar in there, and et cetera. See, I don't have no liquor on the premise. I want to have a health bar in there.
Uh-huh.
I'm really going to build. I'm not going to really take away nothing. See.
Yeah.
You come there and you get your... Yeah.
Very admirable cause, and I think I'll probably put this on the back of the liners, you know.
Yeah, you can take this for your own private notes too, because this is a lot of business in this, man. You can see, if you get somebody with some money, good back, you know. Because it's a lot of, it's not like you're not going to, you speculating, because this is going to grow as it goes along. You can see it growing, see, you can watch it, see, because things are going to be happening, participation. Because as long as there's music going, that's where the money is, see. As long as the musicians are flowing, and like I said, it's more musicians now in history than ever, and they're coming younger, they're coming faster, and they're playing more, so they need places like this. So it's money in it, so you just sit there and wait. When it starts coming, all you have to do is keep the connection open, keep the telephones where you can call a Berlin or Paris.
Yeah, that is if we can develop an audience for this new music.
You can develop, well, if you develop nothing but the musicians' audience. You know what I'm saying? Like every musician have three or four people of their own guests.
Mm-hmm.
See, if every musician say, well, you have to bring 10 people to the concert before it be a concert. See, this way, you're sure of this money. See, I mean, you start off like this. This is the way I begin, you know, intend to start off. Each category, you fit five. See, we got 20 musicians, that's 100 people.
Yeah.
See, we know 100 people gonna be there, if no more. All I want to see is music and more places to participate in music.
Mm-hmm.
And function, and music brings out everything else. Music brings out a lot of artistic things in other people, because like when Bird hit the scene, it changed a lot of people's lives. A lot of people's lives become better. Maybe they come non-traditional, but they become better because they felt freer and relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
Coltrane, same way, every time is another jump. So I don't see why they don't keep injecting music as a hit thing, because it really enhances everything that you got going here.
Mm-hmm.
See, because I've watched them change. I really watched people change. I watched normal people work every day at just a normal job, and they listen to jazz, and they happy.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they can listen to jazz, and you know, you got something coming out at them, and it changed the whole aspect of music. I mean, of living too, see, and they live and jump up, and they're more satisfied, and they still I mean, I just seen it just happen. It looks real happy to me. Mm-hmm. So, and I've got a lot of people like me on the kind of, I've made them happy. See, I like played for a lot of dancers. See, a lot of people mm-hmm. play for dancers. My daughters dance. See, always, they got a line, a little mm-hmm. course line. Mm-hmm. But they do the modern boogaloo and all of this. See.
Yeah.
So I don't try to hamper them. I don't tell them what to dance. They dance like they feel. That makes them dance mm-hmm. better.